Welcome back, everybody, to the Slow Pitch. And today, I see Lane over there. How are you doing today, Lane?
Fantastic, Rob. How are you?
I'm glad to hear that. And today, we have a guest once again, and I really appreciate it, Alex. Alex Oliveira, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic as well. I'm going to choose the same word.
All right, good. I'm glad everybody's doing well. So today, we are going to try to differentiate between what it is to be a good salesperson and an awesome salesperson. So being good is fine, but if you really want to be able to get some good sales, there's some tips out of this episode that I think will help. So let's get started.
This is the Slow Pitch Podcast.
So Alex, before we get too far into this, tell us a little bit about kind of high level what you do during your day job. You know, obviously you don't podcast all day long. So what do you do for your day job here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, time management is number one. So a lot of planning, you know, over the years, last decade or so, unlike my first 10 years as an entrepreneur, business owner, I was just all over the place. You know, over the last decade, it's been a lot of time planning and strategizing and depending on people. So that whole talent development over the years has been like key, because I can see when I have really great people in different, areas of the business, things just run. As you know, Rob, I mean, my wife and I homeschool 4 kids and we like to travel in RV and do the podcast. I like to do a lot of different hobbies that have nothing to do with making a dime, right? Yep. Just some are hobbies, some are giving back to the community. And so, but to do that, I have to have a business that runs well and a sales team that is closing deals. And then we have to make sure that the product is delivering. What is that product that I've been working on over the last 12 years? Really, lead generation. That's it. You know, we look for companies that have sales teams and need leads.
Yep.
And so we can talk about all that, but that's what we do, basically help companies generate more leads.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talked a while back, you know, we talked about a couple of different things, but what stuck out to me in our conversation was what does it take to be a really good salesperson? And, you know, you have salespeople that work for you. What are the things that you're looking for in terms of traits when you're trying to find somebody new, but also that they should have if they don't have it? How do you get there? So what are the sales traits that you see that are really important?
For me, number one is communication. When I say communication, I mean everything, verbal, written, all of that. It's so important, because if you're a poor communicator, you know, I've met salespeople who have great numbers and I would say they're a terrible communicator, because they talk over and above the customer. And that might work for some customers, but it's not going to work for all the customers. So being a great communicator is very important. Knowing when to come into a conversation with a client or your team is super important. So I will go with communication first.
Yeah. So communication being that, is it really just communicating about your product service and really just being able to talk about your product and service really well, or is it something else?
No, I mean, it goes beyond that, really trying to understand the customer's needs, right? So that's psyche. And so my salespeople, they have marketing chops. They have to understand what marketing does. They don't overlook things like reviews. And I've met salespeople who are like, well, I don't do that. I don't do social media. I don't do reviews. I don't do da, da, da. Well, you don't, but the customers do. So why are you not there? You have to be a part of that process. And that is communication. You know, I've talked to salespeople who are like, look, I don't do LinkedIn. And it's like, well, our prospects, our customers do. So if a customer is wanting to communicate with you on LinkedIn, that's not my favorite place to be either, but that's where you got to go. You have to understand that, but yeah, communication goes above and beyond that. And then when I talk about marketing, is understanding all that marketing is doing, the communication that they have with the customer above, like at the top of the funnel when they're coming in, and painting that whole journey. So that conversation happens with everyone in the same room, including, and definitely not at all limited to, but the customer care team. So customer experience, customer care, customer service. Those three, for me, those three people, and sometimes they're just one person depending on the company. It's super important. And they are sort of three different strategies that touch the customer at different moments throughout that journey. But you have to communicate it.
Yeah. Lane, you must have a question. You look like you're...
No, I was just thinking through some real life examples, and you mentioned, you know, salespeople that overtalk clients. I hear it all the time, and it drives me batty. I wouldn't want to be talked over, so it boggles my mind that someone thinks it's effective.
Well, Lane, I I can give you an example from yesterday and not even 24 hours ago. So you're not supposed to solicit here in our neighborhood, as is the case for most neighborhoods. But this guy who's selling solar came up to the door around 6 o'clock, when almost middle of dinner. We're busy, knocks on the door, and you know, he's got the company shirt and goes right into the pitch. And it's like, dude, time out. You didn't even you assume, because I don't have solar panels, that I want your stupid solar. I don't want your panels. And actually, even if I wanted panels, and like for some crazy reason, if I had just been shopping and in my like last moments of making that decision, you're definitely not going to be that person, because everything about his entire pitch for 3 minutes. And then I said, because he wouldn't stop talking. And so 3 minutes, I was just trying to be nice, but 3 minutes into it, I'm giving him the motion, like time out, because couldn't say anything. Didn't ask for my name. Didn't ask if I was the homeowner. Everything that was wrong. He just wanted to tell me the value proposition, which was, well, you're going to save and you're going to do this. And FBL prices are going up. So you're playing off of fear, which I don't care, because I don't function that way. Man, everything that is wrong. And I said, time out. I don't need anything that you're in. But I said, no, you're not listening. First of all, this is not how I do business. So thank you. You have a good evening. And that's it.
I had the same happen with pest control a week or two ago, and the guy jumped into it. He immediately just wanted to know who I use for service so he could badmouth them, and just wouldn't take no for an answer. I just had to slam the door in his face. Go away. I'm done.
Yeah. So the question I have is, where do individuals like this, where do they get the idea that this is a good idea? We can sit here and talk about that all day, but who's training these people? Or is this even training?
No, it is training. Yeah. And I remember going back to when I was in college, I worked as a stockbroker trainee, and then I got my Series 7, and everything that I was taught was like crazy. I would never use those tactics today. I also worked for a filtration company, which you're selling these like $4,000 or $5,000 home filtration systems. And this was like a 2-hour pitch, and it was exactly this way. And they wanted us to go out and knock on door to door. And we did that. But the way these sales managers taught us was, not only so outdated, but so about the company and what we could do for you, we'll look at our product, and building rapport was, mirror their body, and you do like the stupidest things that, yes, you're going to do, but you're not asking the other questions that are pertinent to even build that sort of trust and relationship. But overall, I think nowadays, door to door, just cannot work. We live in a crazy world. The fact that people are training people to go knock on people's door and be like, hey, I have some crap to sell you. Nuts.
Yeah. And door to door can work, I feel like, in a B2B situation. B2C, not exactly the best scenario. I think exactly what you described. B2C, it's got to be, you've got to market, you've got to do all the things, that you got to get into their house that way. But to walk up to somebody's house and start blabbing about what, it doesn't make sense to me. But B2B, if I'm going into a business and I walk in, the solicitation sign sometimes looks as, salespeople look at it like, this is a challenge. Like, can I get in? That's their goal. That's their objective. But if I look at it and I say, all right, I get into this business and I want to start talking to somebody, it's not about sales. My job when I walk in is to talk to and find out some information and who the owner is and what they're like and what would you do if you were me and how do I talk to this person? Because you know what? The person at the front desk, while they're not the one that's going to make everything happen, they will get you and steer you in the right direction, especially if they're nice to, if you're nice to them, right? But if you're not nice and you try to just sell them and pitch to them, forget it. You're never getting anywhere, right?
Absolutely. And it reminds me of what we used to do when I had not a virtual office. Today, all our employees, everybody's virtual, but we used to have an office in Deerfield and in Boca for like 7 years, and people used to walk in and I used to tell the person at the front, so you tell this person, they come back on Friday, because usually Fridays was a chill day, come back on Friday at lunchtime. And then what we're going to do is have that person pitch us. We're going to give them 5 minutes, whatever they're selling is printers, whatever.
Yep.
They're going to have 5 minutes on the hot seat, stand up right there with like 10 of us right here. And you go ahead and pitch us, and we're going to just throw questions at you. And let's see if you're ready for this. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And that's fine. I agree with you. But to just walk in and assume that you can cannibalize someone's time, even in B2B, you're right, Rob. If you're going to do it, the approach has to be like, have that conversation, find out who the decision makers are, what they're using, whatnot. But then again, it could blow up in your face. I know people who would just say like, I will never do business with that company again. Just the fact that they try to eliminate the marketing process, right? The branding process. Like, why should I spend money on marketing and I'm a member of associations and I have a sales team out there? I'm doing everything that a good company does and I have to spend money on that.
Yeah.
Not you. You just get to walk in. No, no thank you.
Yeah, but you know what? Most people don't have that attitude. You're right in what you're saying, but a lot of business owners don't necessarily have that attitude of saying, you know, I'm only going to do it because somebody's done the right things. Some people actually have gotten jobs because they've walked in, asked a couple of questions, say, you know what, this is probably not even for you, but you know, I got to stop in, I got to say hello and see how things are going, and maybe we have a conversation, maybe we don't, and then that may lead into something. I've had that conversation. I've had that work for me. Does it work every time? Absolutely not. It's just like you said, it's like nobody wants to be interrupted. And usually the number one thing I always try to start out with is, I know I'm interrupting you and I'm so sorry. And sometimes that's I bring food with me because I've never been turned away when I had food. Never. I don't know what it is. It's amazing. So bringing food is one of my suggestions would be, bring some snacks, bring it, especially if it's a client that you want to get at some point. Say, listen, I brought some food. I know I'm interrupting. And this is my way of saying, I'm sorry for interrupting. Any chance I could spend 5 minutes just asking a couple of questions, because I want to find out if this is even makes sense to even have any more conversation, because it probably doesn't. And it's when you start acting like it's not, they start to go, well, I don't know, maybe let's talk a little. I'll give you 5 minutes, because 5 minutes is not too big of a deal sometimes, right? But
it's a shot in the dark. I mean, like if you think at from a marketing strategy perspective, it is like that everything that you would never do in a marketing strategy. Why? In marketing, especially today, right, guys, we have all this data, all these data points. I actually read an article yesterday in a marketing website that is very trusted. And the company, I think the name of the company is Informatica or something like that. They did a study and found that like the top brands are pulling in, get this, over 1,000 different data sources, not data points. Each source may have 50, 100, 200, 100 points of data on Rob's life. Wow. Everything that he's ever bought and done in his life. No, 1,000 plus data sources. Okay. What does that tell you? That tells you that you as a salesperson, you as a business owner should never send out. So if you're going to send your people out and only in B2B, and I think we all agree that it's B2B acceptable, not B2C. Please, if you guys are listening to this, do not send your people to sell. Yeah. Okay. So B2B, let's do it. But if you're going to do that, tell these people to get online first and read the information so they can at least eliminate the 10 doors that they should have never knocked on, and then at least be a little bit more targeted, because the information is there. Why is someone just getting dropped off into a business park and just going to every door and leaving a business card? That's just crazy.
So I think your point is spot on in that the difference between good and a great salesperson, a good one would do that. They would show up at a business park and start going door to door. A great salesperson says, here's all the list of businesses that are in that park before they even leave their office. They do the research. Who should I be talking to? Who do I know that could do an introduction? And maybe set up 4 or 5 different appointments of people that they already know would be open to having that conversation, and even maybe reaching out ahead of time. So it's not quite as cold. Hey, I'm going to be stopping by. I know I'm going to be a little bit of an interruption, but would you mind? I'm just going to be talking to somebody next door, or somebody, because you have some sort of connection to somebody already there. But there's nothing wrong with planning a little bit ahead and getting the information that you need ahead. So if they've got 1,000 different data sources, that's incredible. But just as simple as LinkedIn and who they know and who you know. And when you walk in and say, you know, I'm looking for John. Is he here by chance? It's going to be a total. He doesn't even know who I am. So I'm just going to tell you that up front. I did bring brownies. So there's that. He wants a brownie. I don't know. But you know what I mean? So that kind of thing. And you might end up with somebody who says, hey, let's talk. Or I'll give you a couple minutes. No worries. That, I think you're dead on. That's the difference between a good and a great salesperson, is one little element, right? Yeah. What other ways from a, you know, I think when you and I spoke before, we had talked about business development versus being just a salesperson. A salesperson is one thing. Business development is slightly different. So can you help me understand what your logic was behind that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, one of the positions that we're seeing titles change at many companies at the top there, whether it's the marketing, the VP of marketing or VP of sales, you're getting these chief growth officers, these chief revenue officers. And the reason you're doing this is because they're trying to prep the leaders. So, and I'm specifically talking not the whole sales team, but at least the sales leader, if it's a sales manager or a VP of sales, get them to think more about sales as business development, because that is the future, right? Everybody has everything at their, like, right in their hands, like the information. So if someone comes to pitch you on something, it takes you like 5 minutes to understand what they're selling. Like, do I even really need you to tell me this information, Mr. Sales Guy? Even like a real realtor. I mean, we can make an argument that, you know, we don't really need realtors anymore, but that's not going to be very popular with all my realtor friends and clients. But I see that there's a need, because I buy and sell properties. I don't want to spend time doing that. Right. Okay. So there's a need for them, but there are easier ways to do it. And I think that the business development person is that person between the management, marketing, and sales. They're somewhere in between there, but they're always thinking long-term. They're not only thinking about long-term play and revenue, they understand business models. Now, this is, to me, has always been an annoyance about sales training and salespeople in general. They fail to teach them the different business models, the different nuances in each industry, and how people actually make money. So someone comes to sell you a B2B product, but actually doesn't understand how you actually turn a profit. So they start selling you on the software, and you're going, okay, so I'm gonna ask you some questions. You might not know anything about my business, and you should, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to sell me a solution for, let's say, ERP or CMS or any of the CRMs, any software, you need to understand about my industry and not just like surface level, a little bit deeper. And then, of course, go beyond that. Look at the competitive research. If you're selling me something, especially in B2B, and I'm asking you a few questions that might lead me to believe that you don't know anything about my top competitors, but you're trying to sell me a solution. What? And I see the salespeople make these mistakes, but in business development, the really good business development people that I see, they always have profitability at like right here. And they understand that it's not just a transaction, it's beyond that. They try to understand customer service, the customer journey. So I do believe that that is the future. It'll have to be that way. You're going to have to teach people to be more well-rounded. And some of these old tactics are tired, and they're not going to work anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the comment about being proactive in learning the industry or knowing the industry, there are a lot of people that think they know enough to get by, but when you start drilling them with extra questions, you know that they don't know enough. So I think the difference between good and great, there's another one right there, which is you know the industry or you don't know the industry, and you know where you're lacking information, and you know where to go get the information and then go do that so that you have what you need before you get into that inner conversation. I would also suggest that anybody who is out there and doing sales, and you're about to embark on trying to get into an industry that you don't know enough about, you should set your first meeting up with a person or a client or a potential client who you don't care if you get or not. They could be somewhere far away. Make a phone call, set up the meeting, practice. Ask them 100 questions about their industry, as much as you can about what they're doing, so that they understand you're learning. What's weird is you might end up getting the job, but more importantly, you'll learn a lot of information. And after that meeting, when you go to your next meeting, you will be armed with enough information to start knowing the right questions to ask. Are you having a problem with this? Because I've heard this is a problem. Are you having a problem with this? Because I've heard this is a problem. And so now you can start to speak and ask questions intelligently. So it's a weird way of doing or getting there. Obviously, if you know somebody in the industry and you want to just drill them and have an interview with them, not selling them, just learning from them, that's even better. But I've even had it where I've said, okay, I need to do this. I need to sell this product or service. And because I don't know this industry very well or how to do that, I just set up a meeting with somebody in another state, in another area that I would never service anyway, and started asking them some questions. And I started to learn a lot more than I thought I would. It was a little bit weird, but it does happen. So any other nuances that pop out to you? So for example, I know you had a story about you went to a vacation
rental timeshare type of situation.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that experience. And obviously we don't want to name names here, but let's talk about it. And what did you experience that was really good and what was really bad?
All right. So I'm going to refer to her as Jody because that was not the main person's name. No, look, this is a huge company, you know, and they have a great business. Their product is amazing. Top notch. Okay. 5-star resort. So they understand hospitality. I don't have to tell them how to do it. It's great. Yep. Everything is great. The product, there's nothing wrong with the product. And nothing's actually wrong with the marketing, the way the outreach happened every step of the way, every touch point on the run up to the actual vacation was like, okay, here's your text. Here's your this, your that. Okay. Wow. You're like, this is amazing. They get it. You get there, you check in. Okay, they get it. Second day, you're going to do a presentation. So for us, we're looking for a resort that has a bunch of RV parks that we can go stay at without guessing, is this a good one or is this one in like Deliverance? Like that would not be good. Yeah, right? Because that happens. Trust me, we've stayed at places that you're like, kids, you can't get out. We're going to stay in here. I'm going to stay with the shotgun and like, you know. Keep on the lookout. Okay. Never stop here again. But no, I mean, so everything was great, Rob and Lane, but where it started going south was the day of the presentation. They said it was going to be a 2-hour presentation. We had done share presentations before. We get it. All right. You're going to try to sell me on something that I don't want. And that's okay. Cause that's their gig. I by the way, let's take a step back. I so appreciate the way they generate leads in that industry because it's unconventional and it works, right? They have partnerships with retailers and all sorts of like other companies, and they're generating thousands of leads, and they're feeding it to their salespeople who then work with marketing to like say, just come and listen to us. And I think that's amazing because they are truly giving you $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, 3-4 day vacation for nothing, basically. Yep. Yeah. So they're taking a chance, right? But they're getting you there and they're hoping like, now that you're here, we're gonna hook you, which they don't. You could read all the research on timeshare, you know, at any given point, they're closing 5, 10, 15%. Yeah. So, but it makes enough sense for them to give away the other 90% of the vacations, right? Again, but where it started going wrong was the day of the presentation. We sat down, they're doing their spiel and we're listening. We're asking some questions, but they wanted to talk first and give us the value. Why? And it was all about why. And here's the mistake that they make. And I think a lot of salespeople do this. Actually, the guy last night made this mistake with solar. What gives you the impression when you're selling me B2B or B2C without the prospect telling you that their top thing that they're worried about is return on investment?
Yeah.
Because that's... That was like his pitch yesterday was all about the return. I don't care about the return on investment. I'm going to keep living here. Yeah. So what you're telling me makes no sense. And the same thing with the vacation rental. It was sort of half fear-based and half like, okay, well, if you vacation normal, you never get that money back. But if you vacation with us, you put all this money here and then you get the money back. Except that there's that aha moment where you go, really, what's the sell rate? Like right now, today, how many owners that started 10 years ago, 20 years ago, how many of them sold today? Like I'm saying, they called you today and they said, hey, I want to sell my $40,000 timeshare. And it was crickets, right? So they didn't have a good rebuttal for that. Well, because I already know it's incredibly.
You came prepared with that question, though. Most people don't.
Well, you're stuck in a money pit now, right? And then their best rebuttal is, but Alex, don't worry about that. You're building a legacy. You're going to give it to your family. Again, what gave you the idea that I want to give my family a vacation? And if you say not for your family, they go, well, you can gift it to a friend. Oh, yeah, because people just go around gifting each other vacations. I've never been gifted a vacation.
No.
Rob, Rob, but I'm never going to give you and Jen a vacation for free. I'm sorry.
And I've always expected Lane to just gift me, but nope, never gifted me.
I've had the same expectation of Rob. It just doesn't happen.
No vacation. So, again, these are the things that they think that they can, you know, in the short term, fool people with. And I don't see it. And I wasn't the only guy. You're looking around and people are going, what? This is just so outdated. But here's the rub for me. We came with an RV. They said, okay, great. Here's all the different places that you can use this RV in these different parks. But then they didn't ask me the in-depth questions that would actually tell me that you care. Like, what's the size of your RV? Who's the manu- like, who made it? What's the model? Do you have a slide out? Do you have a toy trailer? Because as I was talking to you, Rob, in that world, it's like boating and motorcycles. Like, yep, there's a lot of nuances.
Oh, yeah.
Goes back to what I said about being business development, understanding the nuances and then asking and talking it through. And honestly, if you don't know enough about it, say, wow, okay, well, tell me about it. Like, is there bunk beds for the kids? Is there this? Is there that? Like, why do you go to one park versus another? Do you guys look for lakes to canoe? Do you, none of that, which gave me the impression that you don't care.
Yep. That is number one, to me, the one thing that differentiates a very good salesperson and just an average one. Average one talks, but never asks any questions. Never says, hey, you know, what are you doing now with this? Or why do you do it that way? Or just better understand any of those. None of that happens with those average or poor salespeople. And the ones that ask the questions are the ones that will always get the job, or at least continue down the path to get closer to getting the job, if you will, right? So to me, that's the difference for a lot of salespeople who are good versus not so good, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and do you guys find that? I think it's like typical in any, even if you're in a room where there's no salespeople, there's no sales, no business development, you're just in this community event and you're networking. So there, you know, the motive is I want to connect with people that I trust. Okay. But even in those settings where no one is trying to transact or rip some money off of each other's pockets right there, even in those settings, you see, to your point, Rob, people who come to you, hi, my name is Alex. Oh yeah. By the way, I'll see you later. Next.
Yeah. Or wait, never breathe and just keep talking.
Wait, what? So, okay. So you don't care about me. And I mean, I usually look at my watch after about like 60 seconds. I'm out. I buck. You're not asking me about me. Goodbye. Yep. Next. Yep. And that's what I would say to my salespeople. It's like, it's not about you. It's not about our company. It's about solving their problem. If we could solve their problem, and the way you do that as a salesperson or business development is you get them talking, not as a trick or an aha. You get them talking so that they can tell you more about their needs and you get to know about them, right? Like even with the law firm, I'll tell you, we have law firm clients and those are tough clients.
Yep.
You get into a room where there's like 10 partners and their CTO and it's, you know, it's a tough room because lawyers, they know how to compel you. And when we just go in there, well, yes, to your point, Rob, we bring food, always bring food,
always bring food.
And usually you have the, like, you know, two, three really skeptical guys. Like, I hate you because I want to eat some of that. And we usually like bring really good stuff too. But it's just a way to say, like, look, man, this doesn't have to be all stuffy. So let's just have a conversation. We typically do a little bit different than other lead gen shops. Instead of like trying to understand the competitive analysis and what we saw and their performance, we just try to do like some mock sort of situations with their people and just say, like, look, let's look at your clients right now. Like if we're talking to a law firm. So paint a picture for us, like when they come on and they're onboarded every step of the way. And then, you know, by the time we're done with that exercise, we start to go, what parts do you think that is really good or bad, needs improvement? Yep. Well, they start to scratch their head and go, well, actually, we don't really know. Okay, well, could we talk to some of these people? And I'll often say, are there clients right now that we could call right now in real time and have a conversation? And they'll go, what? Okay, yeah. And they'll okay, put it on speaker. Let's have a conversation and ask your customer, your patient, if we're doing healthcare, what do they like? What do they not like? You're going to be surprised.
Yes, you will.
And right there on the spot, we're showing them like this had nothing to do with our company selling lead gen services. It just had to do with like, here's how we can help you improve. And even if you choose to not do business with us, I didn't sell you anything. I didn't tell you anything. And it just leads to, hey man, I get that you really care about helping us and you showed us today with food and a strategy.
Yes, of course. Yeah. What I love about that, that whole thing is you hit on several different things that Lane and I have talked about. We've talked about networking and how to do that the correct way and how to do that the wrong way. We've talked about how to ask the right questions and we've talked about how to get a review and do a review so that you can get a renewal in your contract. And all that fits exactly into what that is. And so we'll put some links in there for those of you listening if you haven't listened to those before. But it reinforces some of the stuff that we just talked about before. Alex says the same thing. And that's what's amazing to me is when you know that there's good people that understand how people buy, you'll hear the same message every time. If you're new in sales, listen to all of what's being said here because this is really good stuff. Lane, did you have another question?
No question, but I kind of reinforce what we've spoke about is, you know, similar to your vacation experience. I went through one of those too. The main sales guy I spoke with, he started out asking, he wanted to get to know us. He asked all sorts of personal questions. We probably spent an hour just chatting. And then it was, okay, well, let's go take a look. And we knew going into it, we weren't going to buy, but he was so good that he almost had us going, well, maybe we'd think about it. But at the end of the day, when we said no, he got his boss, who applied a little bit of pressure, and we said no. And then he got the director. And that guy was a former Army drill sergeant. And he came in, his purpose was to shame you into signing. And to the
point where, screwed it up, right?
He screwed it up, totally screwed it up. And
because you were there for the taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we, you know, certainly wouldn't have bought just, but they had the first guy had us so close to going, wow, yeah, that sounds like a hell of a deal.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. And that's how subtle it is, too. To me, sales is so subtle in that one wrong move, you're done. Great example. I had somebody that was telling me one day they went into an office and they started talking to somebody and they started moving stuff on that person's desk. What they didn't catch was that that person who they were speaking with was not only the personality that is like very organized and wants to stay organized, but also doesn't like people touching them or their stuff. And so as soon as that happened, they didn't realize it. I knew when just listening to them tell me the story, I'm like, you messed it up right there. You didn't mess it up when you said anything else. That was the moment you left me. You totally missed it. It was so subtle, he didn't even see it. And that's the subtleness of sales. You have to watch everything that you do to make sure that it matches, mirrors, and is within expectations of that person, and then exceeds what they're looking for in other areas. But it's really about the listening side and making sure that you're not doing the things that you shouldn't be doing.
Which, by the way, we know we've all taken sales training. It's a word that rarely comes up is empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like, this is like foo-foo, emotional stuff. Like, no, you need to care about that. Whether you have a woman or a disabled person, there are so many different levels of complexities in that sale, especially if you have multiple decision makers, you know? Yeah. And then also I think sometimes not respecting the data for different industries and like the sales cycle. So in the auto business, as much as 50%, depending on what research you look at, as much as 50% of new car shoppers, don't buy a car until like 90 days from the date they started shopping for it, right? So like off the bat right there, if you're telling your salespeople to like annoy the hell out of this person, we're going to call it lead nurturing, but
yeah,
they're not ready for like 3 months.
Nurturing at all.
You're not, you're pissing me off, you know? Yeah. And by the way, I'm sure you guys get these on LinkedIn, on your website, on text, like people who are like, this is my last and final. Shut the fuck. I never even asked you. First of all, let's start with the fact that I didn't ask you ever to email me. And now I've actually reported you to the FTC. So screw you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've blocked you. I've blacklisted you just because you're being a total jerk thinking that kind of attitude, like this is the third and final. Well, you're damn right.
Good luck.
You're not going to sell me anything. And then, so if you were to ask me the questions like I do with our business development people, is to really ask, like, look, if we're working with a medical group, typically if they're doing a lead gen campaign or doing some web development, whatever the case is that they need, those projects, because in that industry it takes so long for them to be ready to make these decisions, they're busy. I mean, you have to get that out of them up front and then just give them the space. And lead nurturing for us with them, it may look very different than lead nurturing to a local insurance agent who needs leads. Who's like, I actually need leads like yesterday and I have the time. Or a realtor, I have the time. A doctor, a lawyer, they're like, yes, I want to hire you guys. I'm not ready. Listen to what they're saying. They're not ready. Don't clump them in the same place as all your other clients and then get pissed off like, oh, they're horrible at communication. No, you're not listening to them.
Well, not only that, sometimes like if you don't set expectations with them a little bit. Like, listen, if you're not ready, please tell me. Don't worry about hurting my feelings, because you're not going to hurt my feelings. It's totally okay. Because maybe you'll be ready in 6 months. Maybe you'll be ready in a year. Maybe you'll never be ready for us. Maybe we will never be a good fit. It doesn't matter to me. It's totally fine. I just want to have that conversation. Once we have that conversation, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And you stop applying that pressure, because that pressure is on you and the pressure is on them, and nobody likes pressure. I don't care who you are. The only people that seem to do well with pressure, that do really well with pressure, are some of those quarterbacks that I've seen throw footballs and nail it. I don't know how they do it, but those are the only people that like pressure, because they can perform underneath that. But most salespeople don't need that. The more pressure you apply to yourself, the worse you become, actually. And we've talked about that too. Alex, we've gone through a bunch of different things. To me, I feel like there's a whole bunch of things that we mentioned that are really good salespeople would do and really poor salespeople would do. Hopefully that differentiates for people that are listening. Here's what I should be doing here. Or if you're thinking, yeah, I know, but this is what I'm being told to do. I need to apply pressure to somebody, or I need to call them every day until they cave. Just know that you're doing yourself a disservice. We're trying to help people be better and not suggest that you do things the wrong way. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I want to leave your listeners with something that I think is really important. And I think this is so relevant because, Rob, I know you and Jen's business is all video.
Yeah.
And that is that in the age of social media and, of course, TikTok and videos and all of this, for those out there who are business people, young salespeople starting out, please do your research. Because the truth is, if I went on YouTube right now, the three of us went on YouTube, I'm going to guarantee you that 99% of the results that we get on YouTube when we're researching, let's say, how to do sales, 99% is going to be garbage. I'll say it straight up.
Yep.
And I played this example yesterday. I'm doing a whole series on how to keep kids safe online. And I was doing this class and I gave them the example of, like, okay, so you give your teenager free for all on YouTube, which you shouldn't do, but okay, go ahead and do that. Don't set any parental controls. Okay, let's say, which this is real, we did this yesterday live, you type in how to, one of the suggested queries that's going to come up, I think it's like number 7 at any given point of the day, is how to kiss a girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's top, one of the top ones. Always.
Okay. How to kiss a girl. The top 100 results are horrible. They're sexist. They're just everything that is wrong with society today. I have a daughter, I have 3 sons, but so that's what they're seeing. And then on top of that, actually above that, because we all know Google's got to have an ad for everything, Google's selling an ad from this guy who's in a complete moron, running a like 3-minute video about his course on what to do with women when they say no and blah, 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 blah.
Man.
So why am I telling that story? I know that's more relevant to kids, but the thing is that if you're looking for information, obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you're here because you want to, you know, gain more skills. You got to be really selective on YouTube or anywhere else you go, because the truth is, and I'm not trying to say like we're the three of us here are like some sort of like, you know, special above the, no, but the information that we give comes from real experience, not a year, not 10 years, like 20 years and then some, but most people not. As a matter of fact, one of the apps that I looked at yesterday that they were advertising on that one ad on YouTube is an app from a developer in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
But that's the app your kid is going to download based on the video that he saw with the how-to. So just be careful what you're searching. Not all content is equal.
That is very true. Very true. I know Lane tries to sell me weird content sometimes, and I don't understand where he's coming from with that. You know, I don't get it.
You're the reason that the query is up at the top.
You got it. You got it.
He searches that every day at 2:00. So that's why it's number 7 at 2:00. All right. Maybe not.
It's all only right. Because I know you search it at 1:00. So I'm trying to see how it's fluctuating.
I only search it when my wife goes to bed.
All right, well, there we go. All right. So we should probably get back on track. Alex, first of all, I appreciate you coming in and doing this with us. I really appreciate that. Your experience and the stuff that you've gone through obviously fits in with stuff that we've experienced, and we all know what that's like. And so your knowledge is really helpful. I think it would be helpful for people who are listening who said, hey, I like what Alex said, and I would like to talk to Alex if I could. What's a good way to get a hold of you, or what's the best way to find you?
Okay, don't come knocking my door. That's number one.
Well, that's probably not a good idea. It's all solar panel stuff, right? So
Alex's address is. Yeah.
But if you bring me food, that's a different story.
See, told you, food works every time.
I'll give you that presentation. No, I mean, best place to go is to the dadpreneur.co website. These days, just for, you know, for those listening here that are like sales, not really marketing, I say, look, send people to your website. Don't send them to your LinkedIn, to your social media. Tell people to go to your website. So come to my website. I have nothing to sell at dadpreneur.co, by the way. Now, if you're looking for services at Predict, we definitely do. But the best way to connect with me and get a lot of free cool stuff, courses, ebooks, and all that stuff is in the dadpreneur.co website.
Yeah, perfect. And we'll put links in the show notes. So if you have an interest, click that. You can find a way to connect with Alex and you'll get more information. You know, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. We don't catch up often enough, Alex, and I really appreciate you spending the time with us. I just want to say thank you for joining us and thank you for the information because it always is good. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to give these people the ABC of sales. You know what it is? It's in my book. Always be caring.
There we go.
There you go. Yep.
There we go. Yep. We're going to start to use that. Is that trademark? Oh.
The book is copywritten. So right, I even got the certificate. So I don't know.
All right.
Know. So
that's good. That covers it. All right. All right. Good deal. All right, Alex, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Until next time, everybody, don't forget, slow down and you'll close more. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.
Thanks as always for listening today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Slow Pitch. We were mixed today, as always, by Johnny Polakis, and we were produced by High Gravity Studios. Music credits and other notes are in the show notes section on theslowpitch.com, and we'll be back with another episode soon.